All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin new parak today, beginning the third parak of Maseches Erechin Daf Yud Gimel. Today's Daf is Yud Dalid. We're going to start on Yud Gimel with base 13b towards the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by David and Roberta Schwartz, who are the Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan. We thank them very much for their sponsorship. And Abose, with that, let's begin. Yesh Be'erchen. So that is actually a very interesting Mishnah, because what you're going to see in this particular Mishnah is the Mishnah is going to kind of set the tone for the Perek, and then the rest of the subsequent Mishnayos are going to be breakout Mishnayos based on this first one. So Yesh Be'erchen Lahakel U'Lahachmer. So within Erchen itself, we see that there is an element of Erchin that is a Kula and a Chumra. Ubisteachuza, similarly again in the realm of Steachuza, Lahakil Lahachmir, there's an element of a Kula and a Chumra. Ubishar Hamuad, Shehemis Eved, Lahakil Lahachmir. And when it comes to a Shar Hamuad, right, a Shar that has been warned, that has already been established, that it is a goring ox, there is an element lahakil lahachmir, but ones ubemefata moti shemra. Ones is a man who violates a woman. Mefata is a man who seduces a woman. Moti shemra is a man who defames a woman after he marries her, claiming that she wasn't the basula. Lahakil ulahachmir. So we'll say, so each of these areas in halacha have elements that are lakula and lachumra. Now the Mishnah begins by breaking out the first piece. Be'erchin lahakil lahachmir ketzad. How is it that by erchin, there's a kula and there's a chumra? What's the case? Echad sheherich es hana'a shebi Yisrael, ve'esakir shebi Yisrael, nosein chamishim sela. So ultimately, again, I will say the halacha is as follows. If a man went ahead and said, if a person says, I hereby take upon myself the erchin of this individual, and he is a male between the ages of 20 and 60, whether he is very handsome or whether he is very ugly, the halacha is, you have to give 50 shekel. 50 shekel is the erchin amount for a man between the ages of 20 and 60, independent of that individual's personal reality. We spoke about this again. This is a din of erchin. Erchin is based on objective values. So we'll say, so that's bein lekula, bein lechumra. You could have someone who's worth much more than 50 shekel, but if he's a male between the ages of 20 and 60, his erchin value would be 50 shekel. You could have a man who's much worth quote-unquote, worth less than 50 shekel, and yet halacha l'maaseh, if he is a male between the ages of 50 and 60, of 20 and 60, he will be worth 50 shekel. V'im amar harei damav alai, no sinas shaviav. But if, conversely, if a person doesn't say, I pledge the erech, but a person says, I pledge the value. Remember, we spoke about this in the beginning of the Masechta already. The chilek is, erechin are objective values based on age and gender categories. Domim, right, the person pledges value, that's based on the value that a person would fetch on the open slave market. Gemara, says the Gemara, yesh erechin lahakir lahakmer, kei zarecha cherech, v'yisran ba'avikham lo. Now, both say that what the Mishnah Gemara picks up on is the Mishnah's example is Dafka, one who pledges the value of a Jew. So what do you see from here? You see from here that it is only a Jew who is Shayach to Erchin and not an Akum. Lema Masis and Lokrei Meir. So we'll say that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. Why? What does Rabbi Meir say? Disnan, Ovid Kochavim, Rabbi Meir Omer Ne'erach Avalo Marech. When it comes to an Akum, Rabbi Meir holds that Halacha Lamaisa, an Akum can be the subject of an Erech vow, but cannot make an Erech vow. Our Mishnah seems to indicate that Halacha Lamaisa, an Akum is not even the subject of an Erech vow, so apparently the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. To which the Gemara says, no. Afil Tim Rabbi Meiri. No, in truth, the Mishnah could even reflect the view of Rabbi Meir. Hu adin dafilu obi kochavim nami. In reality, even Obed Kochavim could be the subject of an Erech vow, Ela, top of Yudalid. Milsav Agav Orche Kamashwan Kidrabi Huda Amarav, Amarav Yudamarav, Asr La Adam Shiomar, Kama Noe Knanizia. Both said this is actually very interesting. That ultimately, again, the Mishnah reflects the view. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, that Halacha Lemaisa, it is prohibited to go ahead and compliment an Akum. A person is not permitted to say, what a handsome Akum that is, right? What a handsome Gentile it is. So what does that have to do with the Mishnah? So remember again, the Mishnah was talking about that the Chumra and the Kula of Erechim is that ultimately, again, even if you pledge the Erech vow of the most handsome person or of the ugliest person, the Erechim value is the same. But because we don't want to use the example of quote unquote a handsome akum, therefore we go ahead and we dafka use Yisrael. Why don't you want to use the example of a handsome akum? Because this reflects the view of Rabbi Huda, says the name of Rav, that Allah Alamaisa, one should not extol the virtues of an akum, right? One should not compliment an akum. What is that based on? Take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says over Milsav Agav Orche Kamash Balon. The Mishnah did not want to state the most handsome amongst the Kenanim. Because ultimately, again, one should not pay homage or compliment to a Kenani. Where does that come from? Lo Sechanim. Well, this is actually quite interesting. The Pasuk says, Lo Sechanim. So Rashi HaKadosh quotes two interpretations of that Pasuk. Either, Lo Titein Lohem Chein, which is what Rashi is quoting over here. Otherwise, I will say, this is actually very important. This is not just about an Akum, but this is even about things associated with an Akum. For example, if one passes by a church, one is not supposed to compliment the architecture of a Beis Avodah Zarah. Right, one is not supposed to go out of their way to extol the virtues or to compliment an akum. What's the point of this? The point of this is it creates barriers, right? It creates a wall between Jew and Gentile, which is something ultimately, again, that we try to do in order to create distances between us and the nations of the world. The other interpretation of Rashi, of Lo Sichaneim, is Lo Sitein Lahem Chaniya Bekarka, which is actually the prohibition to sell non-Jews land in Eretz Yisrael. That one is not permitted to sell Jewish real estate in Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. Okay, therefore, again, I will say, in order to go ahead and avoid this issue, the Mishnah phrases it as Erchin only dealing with Jews, but Halacha Lamaisa could also reflect the view of Rabbi Meir, who holds that an Akum could be the subject of an Erchin vow as well. So then why not go ahead and set up the Mishnah and let the Mishnah read whether a person vowed, right, the Erchin value of the most handsome Jew or the most ugly of the Kenanim, to which the Gemara says, "Bechadu makamayri," because the Mishnah wants to keep it easy, dealing with one nationality, Klal Yisrael. I betray malum makalomayri. Is that true? Vahat katani rabose. In a later Mishnah, when we speak about the issue of onis of a man violating a woman, so we will see the Mishnah will says hagidolu shebekuna vesakatana shebi Yisrael. The Mishnah is going to speak about again that the penalty for a man violating a woman is independent of the woman's respective identity. Whether a man violated a woman of a very high social order, like she's the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, or of a lower social order, halacha lemaaseh, the penalty is the same. To which the Gemara says, "Hasam chat umahu." There, even though we're referring to Kohanim Yisraelim, it's one nation. Elamakdishu the kadishi kohanit fei. It just happens that Kohanim are more kadosh than the rest of us. But at the end of the day, it's the same nation of Klal Yisrael. V'bayisem, and the other possibility is, I did the Kabbalah Misne Seifa, Ste Achuza, to be Yisrael, the Mishkachasla, but Kam Lo Mishkachasla, the La Bene Achuza Ninu, Mishum Hachi Katani La Bi Yisrael. But the other possibility is, since the end of the Mishnah speaks about Ste Achuza, or the latter part of the Mishnah, see that Ste Achuza, ancestral field, which only applies to Jews, does not apply to non-Jews. Therefore, the beginning of the Mishnah, which speaks about Erchin, also limits its discussion to Jews only. So Rabbi say, so bottom line is, the Mishnah does not, don't read this Mishnah as impacting the previous discussion as to whether or not an Akum can participate in an Erechin vow. It's possible that even though our Mishnah over here, when speaking about the fact that Erechin, the same Erechin applies to the most handsome of Jews or to the ugliest of Jews, does not in any way mean to comment on the ability of an Akum to be the subject of an Erechin vow. The Mishnah just wanted to keep the subject on Jews for a variety of different reasons, either because of Lo Sechaneim, or maybe to make it symmetrical, ultimately to Ste Achuza. But you can't necessarily infer from this what the halacha would be vis-a-vis an Akum regarding Erechin. Beautiful. Next Mishnah. B'Ste Achuza l'haka l'achmer keitzon. But when it comes to Ste Achuza, there is a kula and a chumra. How so? Echad hamakdish b'chol asamachuz. but say whether you are makdish a field. Chola samachos literally means on the outskirts of the city. Now, in general, again, fields on the outskirts of the city were considered to be less valuable. Rashi says, why is that? If you look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah there, Echara makdish stay b'chola samachos, sevivo sa'ir. You're makdish a city on the outskirts, makdish a field on the outskirts of the city. Shine chashuva kol kach, mipnei medras haragolim. So we'll say, this is actually very, or haraglayim, I should say. Because we'll say fields that were on the outskirts of the city were often used as shortcuts for pedestrian traffic. So because whenever your field is used as a shortcut, you're going to trample some crops in the process, and therefore the field is worth less money. So whether you're makdish a field, and we'll say, so again, remember, stei achuza means ancestral land. This is a field that your family received as part of the initial chalukah of Eretz Yisrael under Yehoshua ben Nun. What's the halacha of such a field like this? It returns back, ultimately, again, to its original owner, the Yovel year. If you are makdish this field, if you go ahead and you consecrate this field, whether you consecrated the field on the outskirts of the city, ve'echra makdish bepardesos sabasti, what I will say, or whether you went ahead and you were makdish, right, sabasti or sabasti pardesos, right, sabasti, which apparently were the best fields. No sein zera chomer sorim bechamishim shekel kasef. I will say, when you are makdish asteachuza, there is a very specific formula for redemption. The specific formula is as follows. You pay 50 shekel per area of field, per area that is able to produce a chomer of sorim. Chomer is an amount of barley. So just for our purposes, essentially, it's a base core, right? A base core of earth, a field, is able to create or is able to produce a chomer of sorim. So essentially, the value of redemption for a stei achuza is 50 silver shekel per base core. And the Mishnah is saying over here, the novelty of that is, that's bein l'chumra, bein l'kula. You might have a field that's worth a lot more, you might have a field that's worth a lot less. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if you are makdish, asteachuza, that is the formula for redemption. 50 silver shekel per base core of land. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, echad ste mikna, ubiste mikna, no stene eshabia. Rabbi will say this formula is dafka for steachuza, not for ste mikna. Ste mikna is other real estate holdings you may have, right? Other real estate holdings, ultimately, again, halacha l'maisa, you go ahead and you purchase a field. So if you purchase a field, halacha l'maisa, if you makdish it, you redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash at its value. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, echad stei mikna ve'echad stei achuza. Rabbi Eliezer says, both stei mikna and stei achuza are both redeemed with this same formula, namely, 50 silver shekel per base core of land. If that's the case, then wherein lies the distinction between a steachuza ancestral land and purchased property? Shebesteachuza, who knows Saint Chomesh, who beste mikna, in a no Saint Chomesh, excuse me. I will say, what's the distinction? The distinction is that ultimately, again, the steachuza, when you redeem it, you pay an extra fifth, and with the ste mikna, you don't pay an extra fifth. Because we'll say, leaving out Rabbi Eliezer Shita right now, we learn a very important halacha. When it comes to steachuza, ancestral land, if you are makdish it, and then you want to redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash, very specific formula. 50 silver shekel per base core of land. Why base core? Base core is the amount of area necessary to produce a chomer of sorim. That's bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. Whether you have... Shalom aleichem. Right, whether you go ahead and you have land that is worth much more, whether you have land that is worth much less, halacha l'maisa, again, that is the amount for redemption. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, hikdish sadeh melei ilanos. Rav Huna says, if you're makdish a field that is filled with trees, kishu podin, podeh ilanos b'shavyon, v'chozer upodek karka base zera chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesses. We'll say it's actually very interesting. Shafuna says as follows: Halacha lemaisa, if you're makdish a field that is filled with trees, so Rav Huna says if you want to redeem that field, you essentially redeem the trees separately, and then you redeem the karka. You redeem the trees for their value, and then you ultimately again redeem the karka using the formula we saw in the Mishnah, namely 50 silver shekel per base core of land. Alma kasa Rav Huna. Therefore, Rav Huna says, Rav Huna's shita is adam makdish ba'ayin yofa makdish. That when a person is makdish something, Rabbi Osai, he is makdish ultimately what we call ayin yofa. We're going to see this discussion over here. That when a person is makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, how are they makdish it? Are they makdish it ba'ayin yofa or ba'ayin ra? Essentially, are you makdish it in a way that is beneficial to the Beis HaMikdash? You want to be as generous to the Beis HaMikdash as possible? Or ayin ra, you're makdish it, but you're makdish it in a more, I don't want to use the word stingy, because the truth is you're being makdish something, but in a way that's not as generous. Not as generous. So I will say, Rav Huna clearly says that halacha l'maisa, when you're makdish ba'ayin yofa. Why, Rabbi Osei? Because think about this. I'm being makdish a field that is filled with trees. Rav Huna says, therefore, when I'm poda it, I'm redeeming it in two stages. I redeem the trees, and then I redeem the land. Which means that the Beis HaMikdash is getting what? Double money. Right? It's going to get redemption money for the trees and redemption money for the earth, for the land. Eisvei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman raised the kasha to Rav Huna. Echra makdish b'chol ha-samechuz ve'echra makdish b'pardeso sabasti no sin beis chomer zeres sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. And I was remembering, what did the Mishnah say? Whether you're makdish asteachuza and the field is on the outskirts of the city, or you're makdish ultimately again the pardesos, right, the orchards of sabasti, right, you go ahead and you pay the same formula, 50 silver shekel per base core of land. And I will say, now, interestingly enough, in the case of Pardesos and Sabasti, those are orchards. If they're orchards, then what? Then they have trees. And yet here the Mishnah says that what? How are you redeeming this field? By just you're redeeming the land. When you redeem the land, the trees are redeemed with it. This seems to contradict Rav Huna, to which the Gemara says, Amrele ru'uya le Pardesos kamina. I mean that it's a field that is fit for orchards, but there are not actual pardesim planted on it. Because they're not actual pardesim, in other words, it's a field that's fit for a pardes, but it's an actual pardes, that's why you're just redeeming the land at the valuation of 50 silver shekel per base core. Eisvei, base zera, eimi ela base zera. I only know that you redeem the field. Stay gefonim, ustay konim, ustay elonis minayin. How do I know that these halachos of redemption apply even to a vineyard? Stay konim and stay alonos. Tamalomar soda mikomakom. Therefore, I will say the pasuk says soda, and soda comes to include all types of fields. But I will say, but again, what do you see from here? It sounds like that halacha lamaisa, when you redeem the field, all you need to do is what? Redeem the karka. And when you redeem the karka, everything that sits on the karka is redeemed along with it. Contradiction to Rav Huna. Amarle hachanami poda b'chozer upoda. Rav Huna would say, no, what's the case? In these cases, Rav Huna say, where there are trees on the field, what would you do? Or for that matter, vineyards on the field, you would redeem the karka, and then you would redeem whatever else is attached to the karka. Eisvei, hikdish shloshi lanos, mimata asar lebeis saw. Let's say, if you were makdish three trees, but those three trees were planted in an area that technically could sustain up to 10 trees in one base saw. Harizeh hikdish es hakarka ve'es ha'ilanos shebineihem. Ultimately, again, you were, we'll say first wide line, you were makdish the karka and all of the trees between them. And therefore, kishu poda base zera chomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kasef. And if when you redeem it, when you redeem the field, you redeem the field again, Abosa, using the valuation that we saw before by Esteachus, and namely 50 silver shekel per base car of land. Pachos mikan, less than this. O yes, Sirakin, or more than this. O shekdishin b'ze'achazeh, or if you redeem, or if you are makdish one tree after the next, harezelo hikdish lo esakarka v'lo esayilon shebenei. We'll say in that case, you have not been makdish the karka, nor have you been makdish the trees in between them. V'lo old, not only that, ela filo hikdish ilonosav. If you are makdish the trees, v'acharka hikdish karka, and only afterwards you makdish the land. Kishu poda, when you redeem it, poda sailonos b'shabihen, you redeem the trees for their value. V'chuzer upode karka beis zera chomer sorim v'chamishim shekel kasef. And then afterwards you redeem the field, ultimately again, 50 silver shekel per base core of land. So this seems to indicate that halacha l'maisa, you don't redeem the trees separately than the karka. V'chitema ha'chanami poda v'chuzer upode. Maybe you'll say, no, here Rav Huna will once again also interpret it as you redeem the karka by itself and the trees by themselves. Hamidisefa poda v'chozer upoda. Since the end of the braisa is talking, we've already set it up as a case of redeeming and going back and redeeming. Michlal dereisha lo, ela hamani. Whose opinion is this reflector? We'll say, Rabbi Shimon hi. The Amar Makdish Ba'ayin Ra'a Makdish. Bosir, it's Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that what? That halacha lemaisa, when a person is makdish something, they're makdish it ba'ayin ra. So we'll say, now we see a fundamental machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rav Huna about how hekdish works. When a person is makdish something, is he makdish it ba'ayin yofa, like Rav Huna, or ba'ayin ra, like Rabbi Shimon? This sanyo, hamakdish es hasode, hikdish es kula. If you're makdish a field, the Braisa says, you're makdish the field and everything in it. Rabbi Shimon says, no, lo hikdish ela charov hamurkov hustan hashikma. Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon, that you only are makdish charov hamurkov, also means the grafted carob tree, the charov, hustan hashikma. And ultimately, again, another, and these are both considered to be more mature trees that do not necessarily need the ground to sustain them. Rabbi Shimon, Ema Seifa V'lo Od, Ela Filu Hekdish Ilonosav, V'achaka Hekdish Karko. If that's the case, look at the Seifa. What does the Seifa say? If you are Makdish the Ilonos, and afterwards you are Makdish the Karko, Kishu Poda, when you redeem it, you redeem the trees for their value. You subsequently redeem the land for 50 silver shekel per base car. If it's Rabbi Shimon, lezel basar pinyon. If it's Rabbi Shimon, ultimately, again, I will say, let's determine how you redeem it by what the status of the land is at the time of the pinyon. Velifriku agav arayhu, and therefore redeem the trees based on the land. And based on the land is wrong. But redeem the trees ultimately again together with the land. After all, the Shemin of Rabbi Shimon does up as being a Rabbi Shimon holds, which is actually a very interesting discussion of, Rabbi Shimon holds that when redeeming land, we look at the relationship of the land to that which is growing on the land based at the time of the pidyon. What does that mean? The sanya. Both listen to this case. Minayim lokech sadem avim. It's an interesting case. If I purchase, right, let's say Reuven purchases land from his father Yaakov. Now both say, just to understand what's happening over here. Yaakov has land, which is his ancestral land, right? It's Yaakov's steachuza. Reuven, the son, purchases this land from his father while his father is still alive. Vikdisha. And ultimately, again, that Reuven is makdishit. Ve'acharkach meis aviv. Now, what happens afterwards? So after Reuven was, so again, to be clear, Reuven purchased land from Yaakov. Yaakov sold Reuven his steachuze, his ancestral land. But for Yaakov, right, for Reuven, is it steachuza? No. Because it's his father's land. It's not his right now. He purchased it from his father. After he purchases it from his father, he's makdishit. He gives it to the Beis HaMikdash. Then what happens? V'achakach meis aviv. Then what happens? Yaakov dies. So I say, so now what happens? Reuven wants to redeem the land from the Beis HaMikdash. But I will say, what's the shayla? So we'll say, so remember again, when Reuven comes to redeem this land from the Beis HaMikdash, is he redeeming what we call Stei Mecher, purchased land, or is he redeeming Stei Achuza? And Sesha, what's the nafkamin, Rabbi Osai? We saw the Mishnah Nafkamina is if you're redeeming stay mecher, right? Sold land. How do you redeem sold land? Value. If you're redeeming stay achuza, what's the valuation? 50 silver shekel per base karlan. Abbas, I see the interesting shot in this case. When Reuven was makdishit, it was stay mecher. Now when he's coming to redeem it, it's effectively stay achuza because his father died and he inherited this property. So Moses said, now watch this. Minayin lokech stay sade me'aviv v'hekdisha. If Reuven purchased property from his father and he was makdishit, v'achakach meis aviv, and while the land is in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash, Yaakov the father dies. Minayin shetehe lefanav kistei achuza. How do I know that when Reuven redeems this land from the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't redeem it as stei mecher? Instead, he redeems it ultimately again as stei achuza. Talmud lomar, im es stei miknaso asher lo mistei achuzaso. Well, it says, listen to this. The pasuk says, and if he will be makdish a stei mikne, that is not of his stei achuza, sada she'ina ru'uya lios stei achuzaso. When is something called stei mikne? Only when it is not capable of becoming stei achuza. Yotza sazu she'ru'uya lios stei achuza divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This comes to exclude this case over here, where the field that Reuven bought, even though when he bought it, it was stei mikne, but ultimately, again, it was capable of becoming a stei achuza. Therefore, when he redeems it as a stei achuza. Rabbi Shimon, so did Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir says, minayin lokeach, sadeh me'avav. So we'll say, so just, I want to point out over here, this is Shita's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that when it comes to redeeming a field, we don't look at the status of the field at the time that you are makdishit, but rather we look at the status of the field when? At the time when you're redeeming it. This is very important. Why I will say, because like this exact case, where you could have a field that had one status at the time it was consecrated, but then that status fundamentally changed at the time of the pidyon. Rabbi Shimon says, we look at the status of the field when you come to redeem that field. Rabbi Meir, Omer, how do I know that if Reuven purchases a field from his father Yaakov, umeis aviv, and the father died, and then only afterwards Reuven was makdish the field, how do I know that field is treated like a stei achuza? They both say, now again, remember, this case is a little bit different. What's happening in this case over here? In this case, right, Reuven purchased the field from his father, then his father died, and then Reuven was makdish the field. So this case is a little bit easier, right, because the hekdish didn't take place until after the father died. But nevertheless, remember again, Reuven's first relationship with this field was not as a stei achuza. Reuven's first relationship with this field was how? As a stei mecher. He was purchasing it. But how do I know that ultimately, again, when Reuven subsequently is makdish to feel that it's treated like a stei achuza? Talmud lomar, Amud Beis, Talmud lomar, im es stei miknaso, asher lo mistei achuza so. Sada she'ina stei achuza. Yotza sazu shi stei achuza. So I'll say ultimately, again, but it comes to stei achuza. So we'll say, so two different cases over here. In case number one, Reuven is purchasing a field from his father Yaakov, and then what? Then Reuven is makdishit. After he purchases it, he's makdishit. Then Yaakov dies. But remember again, when Yaakov dies, where is the field? It's in the possession of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Reuven the son wants to redeem the field from the Beis HaMikdash. So what does Rabbi Shimon teach us? When he redeems the field, how does he redeem it? He redeems it as a stei achuza. Because ultimately, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that when you come to the podeh field, we look at the status of the field at the time of the pidyon. When Reuven comes to the podeh the field, Yaakov has already died. Reuven has effectively inherited the field, and therefore he redeems the field as a stei achuza. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Meir comes to teach us a different halacha. That what? That if Reuven purchases the field from his father, father then dies, Reuven is then makdishit, even though Reuven's first relationship with this field was as a stay mikneh, when he zmakdishit, ultimately he zmakdishit as a stay achuza. Good. To which the Gemara says, Ilul Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Afilu Tisha Achakach Meis. Right? Achakach Meis Av. So we'll say ultimately, according to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon, even if he was makdishit, and only afterwards the father died, stay achuza havya. My time. Well, what's the reason? Imishum kra. If you want to say it's because of the pasuk, kra lichid Rabbi Meir who da asa. The pasuk comes to back up Rabbi Meir's assertion. Elav mishum da azal basra pinyon. Rather, Masira will say because when we go ahead and we establish the identity of the field, we look at the identity at the time of the pinyon. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, kra ashkechu bedarash. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon found the pasuk in the darsh and it imkin lichtov rachmana. Im es stay miknaso, asher lo achuza. So, if that's the case, the pastor could have just said, if you have a stay mikna, that is not a stay achuza, my mistake. What does it mean, mistake? Sada shenaruya lio stay achuza. We'll say ultimately again, the din of stay mikna only applies to what? To a field that is not capable of becoming a stay achuza. But a field that is capable of becoming a stay achuza, ultimately again, it's really like a stay achuza. We'll say, and this is indeed how the Rambam paskins, that halacha lemaisa, when it comes to redeeming a field, we look at the status of the field at the time of the pidyon. And this is very important, because we'll say, I would have thought, without this gemara, I would have thought that the halachos of pidyon are determined when? When you're makdishit, which makes sense, right? The identity of the field should be locked in at the time that you consecrated. So therefore, technically speaking, if you consecrate a field and it is a stay mecher, then you should redeem it as a stay mecher. Kamash malon, no. We look at the status of the field for redemption purposes at the time of redemption, at the time of the pinyon. L'may nafkamina, for exactly this kind of case, where you have Reuven, who purchased the field from his father Yaakov. At the time that, and right, and then Reuven is makdish the field. At the time that Reuven was makdish the field, the status of the field was what? Was a stay mecher. How do you redeem a stay mecher? Right, by the value. But yet, again, subsequently, Yaakov dies, Reuven effectively inherits the field, and when Reuven comes to redeem the field, essentially that field is now what? A stay achuza. So therefore, again, the Gemara teaches, Rabbi Shimon teaches, and they said the Rambam paskins that Allah Lamaisa, when you come to redeem a field, we look at the relationship you have to the field now, not the relationship you had to the field at the time of consecration. A very important halacha. Amar Papa was another interesting halacha. Amar Papa hikdish trashin po de b'shavyan. We'll say, if you are makdish clods of earth, trashin means literally, again, clods of earth. We'll say, now what's the chab over here? Infertile soil. Right? Meaning it's not going to produce anything. So trash is just clods of earth that are not going to produce anything. So what's the halacha? Poda b'shavyan. We'll say, ultimately, again, you are poda them in accordance with their value. My taima, what's the reason for this? Base zera amarachmana vahani lav b'nei zrina. Because we'll remember again, when it comes to stei achuza, although we have an objective valuation of 50 silver shekel per base kor, that valuation comes from what? Is based on the amount of crop that a base kor would produce. If you have soil, if you have land that is not producing anything, so the valuation does not apply, and you simply redeem it for its value. Lo galan, we'll say if you are makdish these trushin and you did not redeem them, right, then comes Yovel, Yotzin be Yovel. Ultimately, again, they come back to the owner at Yovel. My time, what's the reason? Sadam Rachmana Kaldu. Because we'll say when it comes to redemption of Yovel, so the pasuk says, Vayoha Sada but say so by Yovel. Ultimately, again, I will say when it comes to Yovel, so Allah said the din of Yovel applies to anything that's called the Sada. And these clumps of earth, as much as they're infertile soil, they're still called the Sada, and therefore they go back to the owner at Yovel. So the Gemara says, Machar Trashin, right? Ultimately, again, if you sold clods of earth, Nigalin Pachos Mishdeshon, I will say, now the halacha normally is as follows. Generally, when you sell karka, when you sell a field, right? You sell a field. The halacha is we generally say that the owner cannot, the seller, I should say, cannot redeem his field. Let's say I sell of my steachuza. I sell to Reuven a field of my steachuza. The halacha is I can't redeem that field for the first 2 years after the purchase. In other words, we have to protect the real estate market in some way. So therefore, again, even though I know when I buy steachuza, like mostly remember again, in general, the Jewish real estate market is an interesting one. Because what happens with all real estate, with all real estate transactions? Yovel, right? So we'll say, by the way, I just want to say something very interesting. It works with a lot of real estate, even presently in Eretz Yisrael today, right? That a lot of real estate purchases in Eretz Yisrael are long-term leases, right? But ultimately, again, but are not actual sales. In biblical, right? Or I should say not in biblical. When Yovel applies, it's even a bit more complicated because the real estate market, essentially, when you purchase land from someone, assuming that we're dealing with Steachuza, you're really just purchasing land for 70 years, right? Because Yovel, again, all ancestral lands go back to their original owners. So let's say, so now watch this. So 50th year, thank you. After seven Shemitah cycles, right, you have year 49, which is a Shemitah year, year 50, which is a Yovel year, thank you. And then the real estate table is reset, so to speak. Ancestral lands go back to its original owners. So the Gemara says over here, so therefore there was a very important halacha, which was if you sold Steachuza, you couldn't redeem it for 2 years after the sale. This way the person who sold it, you know, we'll get some ROI, you know, some return on investment when you're purchasing land. So I'll say, now watch this. Trushin, if you sold clods of earth, or as infertile soil, nigalan pachos mishtei shanim. Ultimately, and you could redeem that even less than 2 years. My time, well, what's the reason for that? First, why not? I will say, you don't know the days. Mispar shnei tivos amrachmada. Because also again, the Torah, when speaking about the fact that you can't redeem property for 2 years after the sale, says what? So that the purchaser should be able to get mispar shtei tivuos, should be able to get two crop cycles from it. So bahani lav b'nei tivuoninu. But ultimately, again, these clouds of earth, so also the whole idea of not being able to redeem your ancestral land for 2 years after the sale is so that what? The purchaser could get some return on investment by at least getting two crop cycles from it. But if you're selling infertile soil, so ultimately, again, that window does not apply. Lo galon, if you did not redeem them, you did not redeem this clods of earth, choseres labailim yovel. Ultimately, again, the land goes back at yovel. My time, what's the reason? V'shav la'achuz asa amrachmana v'ha v'haynam yachuzehi. Because ultimately, the pasuk says that any achuzah, ancestral holding, goes back at Yovel. And even though, again, this field is infertile, it's still called an ancestral holding. Hikdish ilanos, if you are makdish trees, podi b'shavyon. Ultimately, as well as if I'm makdish trees, not the field, but I'm makdish my trees to the Beis HaMikdash, and I want to redeem them from the Beis HaMikdash, I could redeem them at their value. My time, what's the reason? Beis Zera Amrachman of Elo Ilanos. Because we'll say the halacha is that the specific formulation or the specific valuation for redemption of steachuza of 50 silver shekel per base core of land only applies to what? To real estate, to actual karka, and not to trees. If you're makdish trees and you want to redeem them, you simply redeem them for their value. Lo go'alan, if you did not redeem the trees, Ein yotzin l'kohanim b'yovel. Then ultimately, you know, we'll say they do not become the property of the kohanim at Yovel. Why? V'hayo asodeh. We'll say the halacha is, it is only a field that you are makdish, that you do not redeem, which becomes the property of the kohanim at Yovel, not trees. Not trees. V'hayo asodeh amrachmana v'lo ilanos. Machar ilanos, if you sold trees, Ein nigalin pachos mishtei shanim. Bosei, same halacha applies, namely, you are not permitted to redeem them for the first 2 years after the sale. My time, what's the reason for that? Shnei tivuos amrachmano, vahani b'nei tivuos ninu. Because Bosei, the pasuk says that when you sell land, you have to give someone two crop cycles, and these trees also have crop cycles. Because of that, you can't redeem the trees less than 2 years, within 2 years after the sale. Logal, and if you did not redeem the trees, ein chozros lebailin biyovel. But see, interestingly enough, if you don't redeem the trees within the first 2 years, the halacha is those trees do not revert back to their owners at the time of Yovel. Why not? My taima v'shav la'achuza so. Because the pasuk says the achuza, right? Literally, again, the ancestral holding will return. Amrachmana velo ilanos. That refers to karka and not land. We'll say an interesting halacha. So land goes back to the owners at the Yovel year. Trees do not. Amr mar. So we'll say, so by the way, I just want to point out, we saw this distinction. You'll say to yourself, okay, but trees need karka. So we'll say, remember again, we already saw back in our Baba Metzia days, the ability to make a division between trees and the rest of the karka. While it is true that when you go ahead and you get, when you purchase a tree, you get the karka perhaps directly underneath the tree, but that doesn't entitle you to karka around the rest of the tree. But also remember, again, remember in our Baba Metzia days, we even discussed an interesting halacha, which is, let's say I purchase trees in the middle of your field. Does that automatically entitle me to what? To a pathway to the trees, or do I have to purchase the pathway separately? So you can have this concept, ultimately, again, of buying trees, but without a karka entitlement. So you go ahead and you sell trees. Those trees do not come back to you at the time of Yovel. Amr mar, hekdesh ilanos, if you're makdesh trees, paude b'shavyon. Ultimately, again, I will say, so again, this is if I makdesh trees, so I can redeem them from the Beis HaMikdash at their value. So remember again, very important distinction. If you're makdish land, stay achuza. So remember again, there's a specific form, this is evaluation. If you're makdish stay achuza land, 50 silver shekel per base core of land. You're makdish trees are essentially are treated like stay mecher, right? Regular purchase land, and therefore they are redeemed for their value. Aye, but 1 second. Velikdishu agav arayhu, velifrakua agav arayhu. But why wouldn't trees, why wouldn't they become hekdish by dint of the land and ultimately, again, be redeemed through the land? Right? The Gemara says, look at Rashi, v'lifeku agav arayu, makam moshav ha'ilan u'lahadru l'baylim agav arayu, im machrin v'igiyah yovel, v'may amar machrin ilan asalo galam in chosin l'baylim yovel. To which the Gemara says, why are you looking at the trees independent of the land? Why aren't the trees looked at as a part of the karka? V'chitema ilanos akdish aralo akdish. I maybe you'll say, because when you're makdish ilanos, you're only the ilanos and not the karka. But yet the Nardoim said, man dinizbon le dikla lechabre kani le mishipule v'atoma. The Nardoim said that when you sell a palm tree to your friend, we'll say you sell them not only the tree, but what? The land, mishipula. Rashi says, makom moshav ilam atomo. We'll say, when you sell a tree, one thing is clear, which is what is included with that tree. The Naradoim said, the area upon which the ilan sits ad litahom. We'll say, all the way down. This is actually an incredible idea, which is the halacha lamaisa. With the Naradoim said, when you purchase a tree, you get ultimately, again, the area of the karka which the tree sits, and all the way down. It's like, why is that important? Like drilling rights, right? So we'll say, ultimately, again, if there were to be something found buried underneath that tree all the way down, the owner of the tree will be entitled to it. Lav mi'itmar Allah, beba machmas taino. Ultimately, we'll say, but yet we said, what was that referring to? Rashi says, machmas taino, shetono sheskelo shen karka. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the Naradam said, when was that true? That's only true if karka is explicitly mentioned. If a person says, I'm selling you, ultimately, again, the tree together with the karka, that's when the purchaser of the tree gets the karka. But if there's no mention made of karka with the sale of the tree, then we assume the sale of the tree only includes what? Only includes the tree itself, includes no karka. That's why halacha lamaisa, if you are just makdish the tree to the Beis HaMikdash, I will say, so that is not treated like steachuza. Therefore, if you want to redeem it, so again, the novelty over here is, even if you have trees that are sitting on the steachuza, and you are makdish those trees, halacha lemaisa, now you want to redeem those trees. How do you redeem those trees? At their value. Damav, and not like the rest of the steachuza. Good, says the Gemara. Stay mikna, no sein shavya. So let's remember again, next part of the Mishnah was, halacha lemaisa, if your makdish is stay mikna, you redeem it for its value. Tanra banon b'michsas, the pasuk says b'michsas, the pasuk goes, v'chi shavlo ha-koin es michsas ha-erkecha, ad shnas ha-yovel, v'nasan ha-se-erkecha b'yom ho-kodesh la-Hashem. So we'll say, so remember again, if you makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, regular field, not a stechuzah, a regular field, and you want to go ahead and you want to redeem it, so what do? We figure out the value of the field. How would you figure out the value of the field? The number of crop cycles that the field could produce ultimately until the oval year. Ma balomod lefishenemar zera zera chomer sorim bechamishim shekel kesef. Because we'll say since by steachuza, there's a very specific valuation. We go ahead and we write the valuation or the redemption valuation for a steachuza is what 50 silver shekel per base core of land. Yochalaf stemiknekein. I might have thought that also a stemikna purchase field should have the same valuation. Talmud Lomar, michsas. There was the post says michsas. It was a Miriam, michsas means valuation. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Ne'emar Khan Vichishav, Ne'emar Lalon Vichishav, Malahalon Davarkatsov, Afkan Davarkatsov. Pastor Rabbi Eliezer says, it says over here Vichishav, and it says by stemikna chishav as well, just like over there it's a defined amount. So too over here, it's the final. We'll say, remember again, this is Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer's Mishnah says that a stay mikneh is redeemed the same way that a stay achuza is. That just like a stay achuza, ultimately again, is 50 silver shekel per base core of land, a stay mikneh is 50 silver shekel per base core of land. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the only chilik is that a stay achuza, you add on an additional chomesh, and a stay mikneh, you do not. Yibay lehu. Rabbanon, is look zer shava umafkin lechomesh odema less laho gzer shava beless laho lechomesh. So do the Rabbanon ultimately hold to this gzer shava and therefore ultimately again agree that there will be a chomesh or not? To which the Gemara says amarava mstabra less look zer shava. It would appear that the Rabbanon do not hold to this gzer shava. How so? Midigali rachmana chomesh gabis teachuza. The Gabi Makdish Beso, since the Torah speaks about the Chomesh by a Steachuza and by one who is Makdish's home, Haviluhu Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Keachon. But remember again, therefore you see the Torah states Chomesh in two different situations. Whenever the Torah, we saw this concept many times. When the Torah states a concept once, stating it once can make it what? A principle that applies in all cases. Once you state it twice, it means it only applies in those two defined areas and in no more cases. What's the current demand who says that you can go and learn it out? Since the Torah mentions Chomesh in a variety of situations, the Torah seeks out Chomesh, the additional fifth, by Meiser Behema Torah, Ube Behema Temeo, Havile Tuva. There are many instances where the Torah mentions Chomesh, and therefore what? Vein Malamdin. There will say, since the Torah mentions it many times, ultimately, again, even they will agree in Malamdin. Tanya Kava say the Rav Volomi Tame. Both say there is a Braisa like Rava, but not according to his reasoning. So what's the Braisa? The Michsas Erkecha, Hekishu Akosov Le'erchin. Both say ultimately again, the Torah equates this case to Erchin. Ma Erchin, this is the case of Stei Mikna. Ma Erchin Ein Mosif Chomesh. Just like by Erchin, Rabosai, there is no additional fifth. So to af stay mikne ain mosif chomesh. So to by stay mikne, when you redeem it, there is no additional fifth. In other words, Rabosai, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that the valuation for redeeming a stay mikne is the same thing as a stay achuza, he will agree that whereas by a stay achuza, there is an additional fifth that is tacked on to the redemption amount, that fifth does not apply to a stay mikne. But I will say, ultimately, again, for our purposes, halacha lamaisa, we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer, we pass like the Tanakhama, namely, that when it comes to redeeming a stay achuza, we use the biblical valuation. That's the explicit pasuk in the Torah. You valuate a stay mikne, ultimately a stay achuza, as 50 silver shekel per base core of land. when it comes to redeeming ultimately a stay mikna, which is just purchased property, I'll say, how do you evaluate it? Dame, value. That's how we pass. That's how the Rambam paskins halacha lemaisa. Good. Says Mishnah. We'll say next case. Next case. B'shar amur shehes shehemis esa aved lahaku lahachmir. Remember again, we saw say ishar amur. It means a shor that right an ox that has gored three times. It is now a muad. If that shor kills an eved, right? There's an eved kinani, So the Torah says that halacha lemaisa, right? That shor, the owner of that shor pays 30 silver shekel to the owner of the eved. So says the Mishnah, this represents both a kula and a chumra. How so, Ketzad? Echad shehemis es hanoa sheba'avadim ve'esakir sheba'avadim. Whether your shor killed a beautiful, a very handsome eved, or a very ugly eved, no sein shloshim sela. You pay the same amount. I'm both saying, now the truth is, just to reframe that a little bit, it doesn't really matter, handsome or ugly, but what matters a lot more is what they're both saying. Whether the shor went ahead and killed a very valuable eved or a relatively invaluable eved, halacha lemaisa, ultimately the payment is the same. You pay, so we'll say this represents a kula and the chumra. So if your shor happened to kill an eved who happened to be of one of the world's finest diamond cutters, so therefore again his value was off the charts, you're still going to pay 30 silver shekel. Masha'in kein, if your shor happened to kill, you know, a 95-year-old Eved Kanani who was walking with his walker with the tennis balls on it, right? Halacha lemaisa, you're still going to go ahead and only pay 30 silver shekels. So most say halacha lemaisa again, whatever, right? Whatever, ultimately, whatever the value is, right? Independent of the value of the Eved, you pay 30 silver shekel. So the Gemara says as follows, Hemis ben Chorin, no Saint Shavyov. It will say, if your Eved went ahead and killed a free man, right, a non-Eved, then what? You pay the value of the individual. Chavo bazeh u bazeh, no sein nezek shaling. I'm sorry, I missed Hemis ben Chorin, I'm sorry. If the shar killed the ben Chorin, sa'aloch alamaisa, again, no sein shavyov. You paid the value of the person who was killed. Chavo bazeh u bazeh, no sein nezek shalim. Rashi says chava baze ubaze bein be'eved bein be'menchorin v'lo hemisu mishalim nezek shalim. If ultimately again, if the shor gored someone but didn't kill them, so ultimately again the owner pays nezek shalim. Fine, says the Gemara. V'muat in betam lo. Now remember what the Mishnah is focusing on. The Gemara is focusing on over here is the last case. Right, the last case of the Mishnah was chaval bazeh ubazeh. So I will say, remember again, the Mishnah opened up by talking about dafka shor hamuad. Now we're assuming, therefore, that the last case of the Mishnah is also talking about a shor hamuad. And what does the Mishnah teaching mean? That if a shor muad gored someone, injured someone, whether he injured an eved or a ben chorin, what's the halacha? You pay nezek shalim. Now what that sounds like is, only if it is a shor muad, do you pay nezek shalim. If it was a tam, you would not pay nezek shalim. B'muadin, b'muadin b'tamlo, only a muad pays nezek shalim, and not a tam. Le'ima masisim lo k'Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Disnan, Rabbi Akiva omer, af tam shechava ba'adam, mishalim b'mosar nezek shalim. We'll say Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that halacha lemaisa, even a tam who injures someone pays nezek shalim. Now, we'll say the truth is the case here is a bit more complicated. Most sar nezek shalim has to do with the situation where the person injures the ox and the ox injures the person. But leaving that aside, because it's not really material for our purposes right now, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that even a tam ox who gores a person pays nezek shalim. The Gemara is just pointing out, our Mishnah seems not to reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva, because our Mishnah indicates that it's only a muad ox who gores, who pays nezek shalim. To which the Gemara says, no. Afilu tim Rabbi Akiva. In reality, our Mishnah could reflect even the view of Rabbi Akiva. Hu adin da afilu tam nami. The truth is, it's true. Even a tam shor who gores someone will pay nezek shalim. But one second then, why does the Mishnah only frame it as a muad? Hamis Eved, Hamis Ben Chorin, Dibemuatu de Mishkachasla, Bitamlo Mishkachasla, Mishumhachi Katani Muad. Rabbi says, since ultimately again, the case of where a shor goes ahead and kills someone, right, kills someone. By an eved, he has to pay 30 shekel. And by a person, he has to pay shavyav, the value of the individual, since that halacha only applies to a muad and not a tam. Therefore, just for Mishnaic symmetry, we made the last part of the Mishnah that deals with damages deal with a tam as well. But that inachinami, the Gemara says, we actually adopt, excuse me, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Since the case of where if a shor kills an eved kenani, he will pay 30 silver shekel, or where a shor injures someone, he will pay the, or kills someone, he will pay the value, that only applies to a muad. So for Mishnaic symmetry, we phrased the last case of damages also by a muad. But in fact, halacha lemaisa, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, namely what? That even a shor tam who goes ahead and injures someone will have to pay nezek shalim. So we'll say that indeed is how we paskin, that even a shor tam who injures someone will pay nezek shalim, and it's only alt Mishnaic symmetry that we phrase the entire thing as dealing with a muad. We will stop over here. We will pick up a mission with the rest. Tomorrow, by the way, we have some beautiful, beautiful agarata in the daf. Beautiful agarata, Miratz Hashem. Shkoyach.